Once again, welcome everybody to VFC. And all of you guys online, welcome to our service. We're going to wrap up our Unseen series, week number 3. How many of you have been with us for at least one of these so far? Yay, awesome. Okay, we're going to wrap up today. We're going to talk about and answer the question, what is one thing? What is one thing that no one in heaven regrets? So let's look at some scriptures and we'll talk about it. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much, Lord, for hungry hearts. Thank you for what you're doing in each and every one of our lives, individually and collectively as a church family. Lord, thank you that we can invest our seen temporary lives into the unseen eternal things. Lord, help us to hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us today. Help us to catch it with our heart. And help us, Lord, not just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers of it. Because it's the doers that are the blessed ones. And that's what we want to be, Lord. Let eternal fruit be the result of our time together. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody that agreed said, amen. Amen. Okay, Colossians 1 is where we're going to start. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible, but I want you to see this. Colossians 1, verses 15 through 18. It says, now he, speaking of Jesus, is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. He is the firstborn of all creation, for it was in him that all things were created in heaven and on earth, things seen and things unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, all things were created and exist through him by his service and intervention. And in and for him. And he himself existed before all things. And in him all things consist, cohere, and are held together. He also is the head of his body, the church, seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he alone in everything and in every respect might occupy the chief place, stand first, and be preeminent. So it's talking about the seen and the unseen. And Jesus is the seen representative, the visible image, the visible representative of the invisible or the unseen God. I love this. I think this is so helpful. This will help, I believe, some of you in your walk with the Lord. Sometimes, you know, you read the Bible and you read the Old Testament, and then you read the New Testament and you see different verses and you don't know what the tone was. You don't always know all the circumstances that surrounded a given story and why God said this and, you know, why Jesus said that. But here's the thing. You want to know what God is like. What is God like? What is the Father like? Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. So the best thing to do is to study Jesus. The best thing to do is to see what was he like. What were the things that he approved of? What were the things he didn't approve of? What were the things that pleased him? What were the things that Jesus said, woe unto you, hypocrites, Pharisees, and so on. What were those things? Because Jesus is the visible image, the exact representation of the invisible God. So never forget, sometimes, you know, we can get these ideas in our mind that God is this mean judge ready to slam us from heaven, or God is schizo God. One day he wants to, you know, knock you dead, and the next day he wants to bless you. And it just seems so convoluted. But if you study Jesus, he's the perfect representative of the invisible God. He's the seen representative of the unseen God. And then it goes on to say that he was the one that created everything. Jesus did. He existed before all of creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, Jesus, was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. And all things exist and were created by him and for him. And he's the one that has the preeminence in all things. He's the preeminent one. His name is the name that's above every name. I know there's a lot of opinions and a lot of culturally relevant and irrelevant things, but at the end of the day, Jesus is the one. His name is the name. And it says here that he's to have preeminence in all things. And then it gives us a little clue, which is what we're going to talk about, right in the middle of that passage, verse 18. He also is the head of his body, the church. He's the head, the church, us, we're the body. And Jesus is to have preeminence. Jesus is the one Listen, how many of you, wherever your head goes, your body goes? Did anyone come here this morning without your head? No, because where the head goes, the body goes. They're one and the same. The body goes with the head. The head goes with the body. They're not detached. And I think sometimes we just picture Jesus as the head of the body and, you know, all the things we know of Jesus. But I think sometimes we forget what God's view is. What does heaven care about is the subtitle for this series. What is heaven's view of the body? What's heaven's view of the church? And if Jesus, who is really both the head and the body, Jesus isn't just the head. And all the people said, he's the head and the body. The head's in heaven. Where's the body? On earth. We're working together, the Bible says, with heaven. The body's working with the head. If the head says, move your hand, the hand moves. They're not disconnected. And so even though we all know, and I think, let's give Jesus preeminence, I think sometimes we forget what heaven's view is of the church, of his body. So hold that thought. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, starting with verse 20. This is from the Message Bible. It says, God raised him, Jesus, from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments. Who's doing this? Jesus is doing this. His name was exalted. He was exalted and set on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments, no name, no power, exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. At the center, now get this, Jesus is in charge of the universe. Now he gives man a free will, we're his delegates, and we have a responsibility to cooperate with him, and oftentimes we don't. But then at the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts and by which he fills everything with his presence. How does Jesus fill everything with his presence? Through the church. It's through his body. At the center of everything, we're talking about heaven's view. We're talking about what does heaven care about? We get so caught up in all the stuff down here, but what is heaven concerned about? From a throne in deep heaven, Jesus is ruling the universe, everything from galaxies to governments. And at the center of all of it, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral. The church is not a peripheral organization. It is a living organism. It is a living body. The world is peripheral. Look at your neighbor. Say, the church is not peripheral. The world is peripheral. Now you say, what does it even mean, peripheral? It means trivial. The world is not trivial, or the church is not trivial or of secondary importance to the world. No, the world is of secondary importance. The world is trivial as compared to what? The church. Now, how many of you know the devil works overtime to reverse that? But Jesus is the head. We are the body, and it's time the body stands up and recognizes who they are. Recognizes who we are as connected to the head. So we're going to talk about it. Go over to another verse. Let me give you a couple of verses, and then I want to share some examples. Matthew 16, Jesus said this to Peter. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 18. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I, the Son of Man, is?" Well, they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." But he asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah, or son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock, what rock? The rock of Peter? What's the rock? The rock is the rock of the revelation. Upon this rock, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, revealed this to you. And on that rock of revelation, the revelation of what? The revelation that you are the Christ. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are the anointed one. You're the one. And on that revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell or the powers of hell will not conquer it. But as we said, who knows? The powers of hell try consistently to minimize, to defeat, to silence the church. And Jesus said the gates of hell will what? Not prevail. So what's Jesus doing? What's front and center on God's day timer? What's front and center on God's to-do list? What's front and center on God's calendar? I'll tell you what it is. There's no question about it. It's the church. It's the thing he's building. It is front and it's on the front burner. And Jesus said, look, there's going to come a time that in the fullness of time, I'm going to return and I'm coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. I'm not coming back for some bedraggled thing. I'm coming back for a group of people, which the church means called out. There is the church universal around the globe, everybody who is called out as a Christian. You've called yourself a Christian. Jesus is the Lord of your life. You are part of the church. But then there are headquarters on the planet throughout cities and villages and states and territories. There are outposts, you could say. There are headquarters, local chapters of the church, and that's what we know as a local church. That's this. This is one of heaven's outposts. This is not a man-made thing. Hello, this is not a man-made thing. Jesus said, on this rock, what's the rock? The revelation, not something flesh and blood created, not something human beings reveal to one another. It's something my Father has revealed to you. The revelation of who Jesus is. And on that rock, I'm going to build my church universal, but I'm going to build my local outpost, my local headquarters all over the planet. And wherever they'll exalt Jesus as Lord, I will be the head of that outpost. I will be the head of that church. And then I have a body there. And I want my body to be living for the unseen. We're talking about perspective, aren't we, in this series? Aren't we talking about a perspective? Like a shift in our thinking, a shift in our heart, something on the inside that goes, what is the deal anyways? What difference does all this make anyways? What's the purpose of it all anyways? I read a story years ago. Oprah was taking a bath. Get that out of your mind. But she was looking at her beautiful fixtures on the bathtub and looking at, you know, this beautiful house she had. And she said this. I thought it was brilliant. She said, is this all there is? Well, you know, there's a lot of people asking that question. Is this all there is? I mean, come on, what's the point of all this? I mean, how many cars can you have? How many pairs of jeans can you have? How big can the diamond be? I mean, I'm not saying it can't be big, but I'm just saying how big. Talking about perspective. And Jesus is building his church. Now let's go to another couple of verses here. What's the one thing nobody's going to regret in heaven? I'll tell you what it is. The one thing no one in heaven is going to regret. No one in heaven is going to regret that they helped build the church. I guarantee you there's not one person in heaven that will regret that. There will be a lot of people in heaven that will get up there and go, oh, what was I thinking? Thank God I made it in by the skin of my teeth, but what was I thinking? I wasted my whole life. I had 70, 80, 90, I had 100 years to invest into eternity. And what was I thinking? I was so busy with all my other stuff. And dear Lord, they begged me to work in the nursery, but I was busy. I didn't have time for rehearsal. I didn't have time for the parking lot. Yes, we had money, but I wanted that thing, and we didn't give to the poor, okay? We didn't. Nobody's going to get up in heaven and be okay with that. They're going to go, Lord, thank you. Thank you that I made some decisions on this side of heaven to invest my life into the thing that is front burner for you, into the thing that you are building. I mean, a lot of you guys are business people and builders. I mean, don't you want to be partners with somebody who's going to succeed? With somebody who's building something that's going to last? Jesus is building his church, and he just gives us the invitation to be partners. Philippians 3, how does he do it? How does he build his church? Well, he does it with us. He does it with his body. In Philippians, verse 17, it says, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and I now tell you weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." Verse 20, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Okay, so I have my passport. This passport is my document. These are my papers that tell that I'm a citizen of the United States. And when I travel overseas in particular, I take my passport because I want to be sure that I am recognized as a citizen of the United States. And he's telling us in this scripture, we all have a passport. All of us are dual citizens. You have another passport. We are dual citizens of heaven. Literally, we have a heavenly passport. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, as soon as you got born again, the Bible says you got transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, and you got a passport. You have a heavenly passport. You are a citizen of heaven. It is your home. So then he goes on with that thought. Go over here to another verse, and then I'll tie this in a bow. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 21. So what does it mean that we're citizens of heaven? Therefore, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing or charging their trespasses to them. And he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Jesus didn't know sin. He was sinless. He went to the cross. He took your sin. He took my sin. He took the sin of the whole world and paid the price on the cross for our sin, so that we could have his righteousness, which is an amazing gift, that we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. We've been acquitted. We have been pardoned of all sin, past, present, and future, and we have been given Christ's righteousness. That is good news. That is amazing news. That is the good news. That is the gospel. And he's telling us here, you're ambassadors with that news. We are ambassadors for Christ. We're citizens from heaven. That's where our citizenship is. And Jesus, through his body, who has citizenship both in heaven and on earth, because Jesus now does not live on earth. Who's on earth? We are. And he's using his body to do what? Build his church. It's front and center. It's even more, because I was going to title this, the one thing people don't regret. People don't regret serving God. People don't regret living for the Lord. I was going to call it that. And every time I would head that direction, I just got a little check in my spirit, like, no, because that's too vanilla. That's too generic. The thing you're not going to regret, trust me on this one. I mean, you know, I hope you do. I hope you trust the Lord, really, but take this and listen to the Holy Spirit. You're not going to get to heaven and regret anything you did to build the church. I mean, that's one reason. I'll tell you, that's one reason I can't ever think of a time. If we ever did, I would have repented. I'm sure of it. I can't think of a time, but I would never, ever, ever speak anything negative about any church. I don't know. I don't know what they believe other than if Jesus is their Lord and they believe the Bible, then we're brothers and sisters and I'm only going to speak good. I don't care about the color of your hair. I don't care about your eyelashes. I don't care about your clothing. I don't care about your TV ministry. All I care about is we're brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't care what you drive. I don't care what you live in. All I know is we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're members together in the church, and Jesus is building his church, and the only thing I want to do is build the church. I don't want to be negative about the church. I don't want to criticize the church. And when I say the church, I'm not talking about the building, although people criticize that too. I'm talking about the people. I'm talking about the leaders. No, I want to build the church. You're not going to get to heaven and regret anything you have done to build the church. How do you build the church? Look at one more verse, and then I'll give you this demo. Matthew 6, verse 19. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So he's telling us here, we get the option to lay up treasures for who? For ourselves. We think, don't lay up treasures in heaven for God. But actually, the verse says, you can have the option to lay up treasures while you're on earth. You have the option to lay up treasures for yourself. Another word would be rewards. You have the option to lay up treasures for yourself in heaven or lay up treasures on the earth. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So a couple of thoughts. How do you lay up treasures? And then we're going to come back to the ambassador thing in just a minute. The way you lay up treasures, the way we represent Christ, the way we are ambassadors for Christ is by what we do to build up the church. It's our words, as I mentioned. It's our time, it's our energy, it's our giving, it's our service, it's our faithfulness. It's leading people to Christ. I mean, one primary way to build the church is to add to it. To add to the church by inviting people to know Jesus Christ personally. Inviting them to church to get saved. You lead them to the Lord on the job, in your neighborhood. I mean, there's a lot of directions you could go, but the overarching goal is building the church. So this ambassador title that we've been given, you know, if you're an ambassador, your citizenship is in the United States, let's say, but you live in another country. You pack your bags and you live in another country. If you're an ambassador to Australia, then you pack up, you know, some boxes and you move to Australia, but most of your stuff is back in your home state, your home country, your native land. You know, Luke and Kelsey are moving to Australia here in a couple of weeks, and not as ambassadors per se, other than ambassadors for Christ, but they're only allowed to take 2 suitcases on the airplane. And this is to live for 2 years. And you could ship some things over, but it's really expensive to ship. And so they're just going to pack 2 suitcases, 50 pounds each, and they're going to live with those 2 things, and then they'll get what they need when they get over there. So there's a different mindset. When you're living out of a suitcase, who knows, there's a different mindset. I would guess wherever they went, are they in the back room? Where are you guys at? There they are. I would guess... And you're with your parents? Yeah. I would guess, hi. Kelsey's mom and dad, just a little FYI. Can you guys wave? Kelsey's mom, her name is Beth. Kelsey's dad, stepdad, his name, Jeff. I could guess, though, you guys are thinking, as you're packing your suitcases, you're thinking, wow, this is a different perspective. I'm going over there temporarily. I'm taking the most important things, and I'll just leave the rest back home, probably in mom's garage or Kelsey's parents' garage, right? I mean, that's what you're thinking, because it's a different mindset. There's a temporary mindset. And so there's something about living out of a suitcase. There's something about having the mindset, I'm just here on assignment. I'm here for a couple, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. I'm on assignment. I have a mindset that I'm just going to live out of the suitcase, just the essentials. I'm not going to get bogged down and ensnared and lay up a bunch of treasures on the earth. And in fact, here's the thing. It's like the TV show, The Briefcase. If you end up giving your life away to God and his purposes and his church, here's the crazy thing. The Lord will bless you back so much you won't even be able to stand it. We are living proof. You give your life away, and God's like, you're not going to outdo me. If you're going to give, I'm going to give. And the Lord gives back. It's his principle, but you have to do it by faith. You have to live like an ambassador by faith for the cause of his church. And I'll just give you this thought. You say, how do I serve the church? How do I help build the church? You do it with one of 2 things. Most of you here will have gifts and passions in one of 2 places. You either have platter gifts, serving gifts, or you have speaking gifts, communication gifts. Everybody here, you've got you're likely gifted in one or the other. You may have gifts in both, but you're going to lean towards one or the other. You're a serving person. You're like, I like to be behind the scenes. Do not put me on that stage. Do not have me talk to people, but just let me serve the poor. Let me just write a check and give money to the church. Let me just serve in kids' church. Let me just be a prayer. Others of you, you're like, no, I want to preach the gospel. I want to make videos. I want to write books. I want to write songs. I want to proclaim the gospel. You have gifts, serving gifts or speaking gifts as an ambassador. They're in one of these two categories, and then you get the decision to go, okay, how am I maximizing my gifts, laying up for myself treasures in heaven to build the church from which Jesus on his throne in deep heaven is overseeing and is at the center of it all, the church. And Jesus is coming back for a church that I want to make sure I have no regrets. I'm going to leave it all on the floor, as they say. How many of you, it starts with a heart decision. Now, how does that play out in your life? You and the Lord will have to figure that out. But it does start out with a heart decision. It really does, and it's not one to make lightly. It's one to make, but not lightly. It's when in your heart you go, Lord, you know, I have lived mostly for earthly things. I have lived mostly for me and my convenience. I've lived for the red part of the rope, if you guys were here that first week. I mostly live for that. But I want to make a decision in my heart that with the resources you've given me, a microphone or a platter, and all the resources and gifts and time and energy and talents and everything I have, I just want to make a decision. I just want heaven to record this, that I want to, from this point on, I want to pour into the things that you consider important and valuable and eternal. And it's obvious from a number of scriptures here that your church is front and center. And whatever that looks like, I don't know. I don't know what that'll look like for you. And if you are visiting from another church, awesome. Take this back to your church. This is for every local church everywhere. It's not just like a VFC message. This is for church, the church, and churches. So I want to show you some pictures in closing, just because I want you to see this in real life. In closing, I want you to see these pictures because these are some people that I guarantee you don't regret. They don't regret the investment they've made into his church. Now, in particular, these are pictures of this church. I want to show you just some history. We started this church in September of 1991. September 22nd, 1991. You're going to see okay, you all see that? Is it up? Okay. Then we started the church, first service, Pastor Jeff with a mullet preaching away. And you see the people, do you know that the people that came to that first service, I'll guarantee you heaven has that recorded. Do you know what an encouragement that was to a couple of young kids starting a church? People actually showed up. And the miracle was they came back. Next picture, I want you to see this one. This was our first baby dedication. Now you see that couple on the far right? That's Tom and Kathy Dean. Are you guys here today? Where are you? Tom and Kathy Dean in the house with their V-Crew shirts on. Tom and Kathy are holding their boys, Jake and Aaron Dean, who were on stage leading worship, playing the guitar. That was the baby dedication. I'm holding Annie, who's squirming, as you can see. But what I really want you to see is the couple on the far left, Steve and Diane, and their little baby, Nathan. Do you know when we tell people we started the church with 5 adults and 4 kids? Well, Steve and Diane were 2 of those 5. I was pregnant, Diane was pregnant, and she had Nathan. I guarantee you that Stephen, they were only in the church for a year. They got transferred to Grand Rapids. But do you know, I guarantee you, they have no regrets that they invested that year of their time building walls in the basement, taking around posters to advertise the grand opening, sitting in our very first Get a Grip class. They have no regrets that they have this fruit here that God's created at VFC and will continue to for ages to come. The fruit here goes to their account. That's what I'm trying to tell you. The fruit, they're not here. They only were in the church for a year. But all the fruit of what they sowed is now being credited to their account. They have laid up treasures in heaven. Next one, first Get a Grip class and the first group of the V-Crew. Now, I want you to see the first Get a Grippers. In that group, you see Barb and Jim Hildebrand right there in the front. In that group, Barb, I think is the only one, Barb's in heaven. Barb's in heaven. She babysat our kids for years and years and was such a blessing to our church and to us. Do you know that I guarantee you, Barb had no regrets. The time that she spent watching the Jones kids so we could plant a church. The time she spent serving in the nursery. She's got no regrets. All those guys in the V crew, some are still in the church. You might find yourself there. Some aren't. There's no regrets. Next one is Kilgore, our next building. You see the sign there for Kilgore, and then you see the gorgeous building. Then the next picture, I want you to see this next picture. I'm just wanting you to see in practical terms. There's no regrets. The worship team there, Don Ferris is on the far left. Don still helps lead worship over at the cathedral. Gary, do you know Gary's in heaven? Gary's the one next to Don. Gary's in heaven now. He wasn't expecting to die. He was actually quite young when he went to heaven. But do you know what? I guarantee you he's got no regrets about his investments in the church. And then you see Tom Dean, once again, singing over there. And then Mariah Bombick. Are you in here, Mariah? Is she in here today? Mariah is a backup singer, BGV. Bottom picture on the left, I want you to see this. So working with kids, some of you serve in kids' church. There's Megan Jones with a Jesus Rules t-shirt. And then Eric is right next to her going topless. A bunch of other little kids. But you know what? The people that worked in kids' church and were outside that day that was probably hot and sweaty and gross, and they're thinking, oh my gosh, does this even matter? Dear Lord, I'm in the middle of nowhere trying to teach these kids about Jesus. Does this even make any difference? Do you know it did make a difference and they have no regrets? And then we had a little picnic there. I want you to see the picnic because Beverly Kirk is right there in the middle leaning over at the picnic table. Bob and Bev Kirk and Joni, they came to the church back in the Richland days. But do you know Beverly's in heaven now with the Lord? And do you know, she's got no regrets. And Beverly was one of those, if you knew Beverly, she'd send us notes every now and then. I love my pastors. Keep preaching. Don't quit. I love my pastors. Just every now and then she'd send a note. And usually it was pretty timely. Beverly was just a light bulb for the Lord. She didn't have a lot on earth. She didn't have a lot of earthly possessions per se, but I'll tell you what, she's got tons of treasures in heaven, no doubt about it. Next one is Romance. I'll do these quickly because we got to go, but I just want you guys to see it. The sign for Romance, the building, and then look at this picture here. You see this little kid worshiping? Isn't that the coolest? I want you to see, this is a creative element we did one time, but I want you to see who's on stage. Some of you know Ben Black, the kid in the far left, Morgan Snyder. Morgan's in that picture. Amik. Look at Amik. He's on the front in the right. Amik was up here leading worship today with his guitar. Matt Farrell's one of our drummers. Matt's in that picture. These guys were just young punks, and look at them. But they're pouring into the church. It's just young guys. And look what God's doing in and through their lives. Now, look at the impact they're making now in the ages here. Morgan's down at Rhema and on staff at Rhema Bible Church. These other guys are involved here at VFC. There's no regrets. All the fruit is credited to their account. Another picture. Which one is it? That's just inside of Romance, just to see. That was probably a power team event. Okay, and then a baptism. We're going to show that picture of the baptism. Who's that? That is a cool picture. That is Matt Munson. Are you here, Matt? Is Matt here? That's Matt Munson being water baptized by Pastor Richard and Pastor Jeff. Now Matt is on staff and oversees all of the Friday groceries and outreach events and has John Martin working for him and many others. Well, how did that happen? Some people sowed some seeds to build a church, and then God got a hold of a young guy named Matt Munson. And now he's doing eternal things through him. And all that fruit is credited to the account. All right, last ones. It's this building. I just want you to see a couple things. This is this building from an airplane. Pretty cool shot. And then that was under construction. A lot of you guys were a part of this season. You gave, you served, you helped. That was the building going up. All the Jones kids were a little younger. Then look at this next one. I love this next one. We came over here and we'd have some prayer walks. And we got in the sanctuary and we prayed. Remember we talked about prayer week one, about incense going up to heaven. We prayed for the church. We prayed for you, some of you that weren't here yet, but we prayed for you. We prayed that God would bring you, prayed for all the things that God was going to do in this building. And I'll guarantee everybody in that prayer meeting, there's no regrets. They probably only wish that they had prayed more. I know I do. Probably just wish, I wish I just had invested more into building what is eternal. The last picture is this one. This is last Christmas. Packed house for Christmas. Worshiping Jesus, inviting people to get saved. Do you know in 2014, there were 1,619 salvations. 1,619 documented salvations. All the fruit of that is credited to your account if you are pouring your life into building his church at whatever level. That's your heart. That's what you're doing with your energy, your time, your money, your prayers. I'll read this in closing. Two men had lived beside each other for years. One man sought and gained the riches of the world. The other man sought the kingdom of God and building the church. These men were both brought down to their dying beds the same week. When the rich man was spoken to concerning the future of himself and his neighbor, he said this, "I am leaving my treasures, but my neighbor is going to his." Many times, I thought him very unwise in giving so much in support of his religion, his church. But when a man comes down on his dying bed, he can see the folly of storing up riches here. I am leaving all I have ever lived for. My neighbor is going to what he has lived for. And I think that's the decision we all get to make. What are we going to live for? We're going to live for what's here, or we're going to live for what's there? And so I want to encourage you, guaranteed, no one in heaven regrets building his church. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the simplicity of the gospel, of the truth of you and what you're doing on earth and in eternity. And Lord, help us, all of us, as we're just pondering these things. Lord, I pray you help all of us to make a decision, if we've not already done so, just to say, God, just write it down in heaven. I re-up. I am all in for you, for your kingdom, for your church, for what you consider important and eternal. And Jesus, I don't want to have any regrets. When I get to heaven, I want to look back and go, I'm so glad I invested my life, knowing you're going to take care of my family, me, our finances, our living stuff, our food, our clothing. You'll make sure we're taken care of and that we have a joy-filled life. I have no doubt. But our hearts, and my heart is, to live to build the church. And so, Father, I thank you for the work that you're doing that only you can do. It's not a human revelation, it's a God revelation. And it's on that very thing you are building your church. And Lord, thank you for allowing us to be a part of it. With every head still bowed, eyes still closed, you know, you might be here, and if you have never personally invited Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, that's the most important thing, is to invite him into your life. And the way that you do that, the way you confess Jesus as Lord, is just simply with a prayer coming out of your heart. And I'm going to lead you in that. If this fits your heart, repeat it after me, and let's all say it together. Say, "Dear God, I do believe that Jesus is your Son. I do believe he died on a cross for me. And today, I make a decision to invite Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. Come into my heart. I'm so thankful right now you forgive all of my sins. You write my name in your reservation book in heaven. And from this day forward, Lord, help me to live a life that pleases you in light of eternity and that builds your church. In Jesus' name, amen."